whatever your journey is, however long it takes, I hope you can find ways to shorten the pathway to get to the point where you can say, I am enough just as I am.
Hello, my name is Emily Jansen, and this is the Leadership is Female podcast. We interview women in the sports and entertainment businesses to teach you the tips and the mindset that will get you to the top faster. Marian Wright Edelman said, you can't be what you can't see. Let's bring visibility to women who are crushing it in their roles. Join us week after week, season after season, as we reach back to extend a hand to pull you forward. We will lead you forward because leadership is female. Welcome to the Leadership is Female podcast, Antonia Bowring. We are thrilled you've joined us. You are an expert on so many levels and have such an impressive resume, but I want you to introduce yourselves to our listeners and give them an idea of who you are and what you do.
Yeah. Well, Emily, thank you. I will make my introduction brief because we have, you know, a nice amount of time to talk about the things I do. I am an executive coach. I live in New York City and I am Canadian and a mother of two sons, one in college, one a junior wanting to play baseball in college. So if anybody's in recruiting at a D1 baseball school, call me. And yeah, I wrote a book recently, published in September, called Coach Yourself. And I really wanted to kind of get some executive coaching messages out there and democratize coaching. And most of my clients are women. I have been blessed to do a lot of work with the company Chief that has a lot of chiefs in it. I do some work with Kahila, also has a lot of women members. And I started my career in microfinance, helping women entrepreneurs get access to finance internationally. So this podcast is a joy and pleasure to be on.
That's amazing. And you know, you don't come with only like a few accolades. There's like wheelbarrows full of them, but I've chosen two reviews of sort of you and your work to give a little more of an intro to our listeners. And here's what they have to say about you. Chris Anderson, head of TED: not only will Antonia's frameworks help you become a better leader, they'll help you to develop lasting habits, which will make you formidable in the workplace. Christina Tosi, founder and CEO of Milk Bar: Antonia's helped me become a better leader to my team at Milk Bar. Her book is a must-read guide for anyone who wants to put her deep coaching experience into action in their life. So this is just a sampling of the impact you can make. You told us a little bit about how you got there. You started in microfinance, but how did you grow your coaching career to work with these high-level executives and make such a large impact?
And I'll try and answer this in a way, because I'm sure there are listeners who are thinking kind of, what do I do next, right? And I wish I'd had a career coach when I was younger, because I fumbled and stumbled around for quite a while, because I think I had low self-esteem and ADHD that was undiagnosed, and just kept thinking I better go back to school to get another degree to get a job. And this kind of pattern went on for a while. But how I got into coaching was in my last kind of corporate gig. I was running an office of a nonprofit that helped low-income women start businesses. And I opened the New York office. And nonprofits don't actually go bankrupt, but in essence, that's what happened. The California base of this national organization went bankrupt. And I so we kind of got shut down, even though we were doing really well. Lots of programming, women starting businesses, they were getting funded. And it made this very strong impression on me that, okay, my next gig, whatever it is, I want to control my destiny. I want to be able to kind of keep the success, and I'll own the failure, but I want that agency. And in, you know, this is where like mentors are important. And this woman, her name, Joanne Kilmeyer, she was an executive coach, and I had a bunch of executive coaches doing pro bono work with these clients. And she said to me, you know, you're a natural. Why don't you take my executive coaching course at NYU? And literally, I did, and I never looked back. It was like I was born to do this, but it took me a while to figure mm-hmm. that out.
Yeah, that's amazing. I think everyone is sort of looking for that breakthrough moment where they're in the career that they were meant to have. And now you get to help people do that. And as you said in your intro, you've democratized executive coaching through your book, Coach Yourself, which is an essential guide for committed leaders who want to elevate both their work and their personal lives. And your approach centers around self-awareness, shedding unproductive behaviors, and embarking on a journey towards a thriving existence. Who is this book for, and what can readers expect to take as an outcome from reading this book?
Yeah, thank you for that lovely question. So this is not a book I didn't write it so you would pick it up and read it cover to cover. I'm thrilled if you do, but it's more like a DIY coaching book. And I firmly believe if you are curious, if you have a learning mindset, if you have some determination, you can coach yourself quite far. Not maybe quite as far as if you had your own, you know, personal coach, but you can go quite far. And this book is set up, it's essentially the dozen or so frameworks that I use over and over and over again in my coaching work. And I primarily coach C-suite and founders and leaders of early stage high growth companies. So it's not like, oh, these are the management basics new recruits should read about. Mm-hmm. Well, yes. And if you're a mid-level manager, you need to be reminded. And if you're a leader, you still need to be reminded. And you also can use these frameworks as a way to communicate what you want from your team and your direct reports.
Yeah.
So what I did is I just took these frameworks I use and sort of turned them around so that you could apply it yourself. And there's reflection questions. I map out the framework, and then there's always a couple of case studies.
I love that. And I think one of the reasons why people struggle with finding their next great opportunity or role or job is because they haven't found a way to identify and activate their core values. They might be mm-hmm. headed down a road that's maybe not in alignment. So how do you guide leaders to identify their core values to make sure that they're on track and living into their purpose?
Yeah. So there's lots of value exercises, right? But I think I can't actually think of any coaching engagements I do where I don't start by having the client do a values exercise. And the reason is, how do you have a North Star if you don't know what your values are? Like, to me, being able to articulate your values is sort of, you know, at the base of what you need to be able to know about yourself and be aware of. And, but it's important to take it a step further. It's important to think about your values in terms of how do you activate them? So how do you every day activate your values in small ways? And how do you activate your values in terms of thinking about long-term goals or career transition? It can be a really helpful exercise to say, if these are my core values, how would I activate them in another role or in a different career path? And I had a client who was COO of a early stage, high growth kind of software platform. And she decided she wanted to start her own business. And we did this exercise. We did the values exercise. And then I said, okay, so how would you activate those? And she realized that international, like an international perspective, is a core value for her because she's Latin American. And she was like, oh my God, I have to start a business that's, you know, that is not domestic. It has to have an international aspect to it because that is core to how I want to live in this world. So that's that. And sorry, just to, but also it's like, how do I activate in being service of others every day? Well, that's, you know, paying attention to the man outside Trader Joe's who is looking for someone to buy him some food, right? What's the point of having that value if I'm not activating it in my daily life? Mm-hmm. He likes, by the way, carrot juice and Trader Joe's Joe cookies.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's so insightful. And sometimes we're missing the things that feel like they should be obvious to us because they're ours, but we might not be keeping them at the forefront of our mind. Right. So it's such a good reminder. And at the top of the interview, I'd mentioned how Chris Anderson had a TED, had talked about your framework. So I want to ask you about the COIN.
Uh-huh.
Framework, COIN, common purpose, observations, inquiry, next steps. How do you have a critical conversation when stakes are high, emotions are strong, and opinions are different? How do you apply this framework to help you keep, like we talked about, like at the forefront of your mind?
Yeah. So this, I would say, I probably bring this up in every single coaching engagement. Because who doesn't have critical conversations, right? Everybody. And either, you know, it might be you are the recipient of one or you are the instigator of one, but we have them all the time at work and at home. And this framework is as useful on the home front. I'm actually going to talk to a group of parents at my school's son next week about using frameworks from my book in parenting. And this is definitely one of them. So the first thing is there's a preparation phase, which is, first of all, you have to prepare for a critical conversation, right? You just have to. If you don't, if you think, oh, I'm just going to wing it, that's not smart. And we tend to lean one way or another. We have a very strong backbone. Oh, we know what our objective is. We're going to go in. We're going to be direct. Or we have a big heart. Oh, I don't want to hurt feelings. I want to, you know, I want the relationship to be okay. And it's first knowing where you tend to groove there. And then secondly, sort of having the self-awareness to remember you need both in a conversation, right? You don't want to give away all your power, but you also want to be open-hearted. So that's the first piece. That's before you even have the conversation. And then why I find this very simple kind of checklist helpful is because it's so easy in an emotional conversation or one that, you know, raises cortisol levels or to kind of lose your way. Oh, and you know, you feel a bit like you're kind of stumbling in the dark. And what I wanted people to feel like is that they have this in their back pocket. So if things go off a bit, you go, oh, wait, okay, where am I? Okay, did I establish common purpose? Did I create an in-group, right, between this person and me? Because if we have agreement that we agree, like, oh, you know, Emily, I know that we, you know, we both really care about how this team gets along. I'm creating sort of strands and threads of positivity and reciprocity, right? And then I talk about observations, and those are things you see with a video camera. It's not, you know, but Emily, you're too judgmental of your team members. That's a perception. That's a judgment. What I might say is, Emily, I've heard you deliver several rounds of constructive feedback, but I actually haven't heard you deliver any positive feedback. That's an observation. And I wanted to check in with you because I've heard some rumblings about motivation levels being low. Okay. I'm not judging. There's no judging there. I'm just observing and sharing my observation. And then the majority of our time is going to be an inquiry where I'm listening. I am really exquisitely listening to you, what you say, your body language. I'm using open-ended questions, and I'm encouraging us to have a dance of inquiry. And then we're ending it always with some kind of not tactical, but concrete next step. So, Emily, you know, you and I have agreed on a couple of things you're going to try to do differently. And then I might say, so Emily, how do you want to move this forward? Should we schedule time for a couple of weeks and see how it's going? Or what thoughts do you have? So it's a simple framework, and it's like a basic recipe. You can personalize it, add your own, you know, add the nuts or the raisins or the chocolate swirl, but it's a backbone of a conversation that can just be really helpful.
Yeah. As you were talking through it, I was reflecting on, wow, I wish I had this framework for some of these critical conversations, and how specifically how you framed the observations, how that could make it a lot easier to say the tough things when you're not delivering a judgment. You're just saying what you've seen or what you've heard. I thought that was brilliant. I love that.
Yeah. Good. Thank you.
Yeah. And you know, it's very compassionate the way that you can deliver that feedback. How important is that relationship of trust between colleagues in order to run a successful organization?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the basis of everything, right? I think there's a lot more written about this. There's a lot more sort of awareness and sensitivity towards it. You know, Google did this huge study in the late teens, you know, tons of money, Project Aristotle, I think that's what it was called. And they really set out to figure out what is the secret sauce of a successful team? You know, what's the DNA of a successful team? And they spent a lot of money and they figured out that there were five things. And I don't know if I can remember them all, but the first and most important was psychological safety.
Yeah.
Meaning you feel safe, you trust that you can make a mistake and admit it, that you have a voice that you can speak with that is heard, might not be agreed. That's not the point, but it's safe to share opinions and be part of the discussion. So that was number one. And then it was clarity on roles and responsibilities, purpose, that there was purpose to what you did. And I'm forgetting the other two, actually. I have them. I could look for them, but I won't.
Well, I think those three are ones that we can resonate with very specifically.
Yeah.
And I think underneath that psychological safety umbrella comes failure and how you have to be in an organization where there's honesty around failure. And as you stated, failure stings, but there are some fortunes of failure. What are those?
If you are listening to this podcast, I know you are a busy professional. We can agree we are always looking for products that are convenient and make life easier. Mobot water bottles are one of these products. It's a water bottle and a foam roller in one. I use the water bottle at the gym, staying hydrated in boot camp and then flipping the bottle on its side at the end of class to quickly foam roll my legs. It helps with recovery and gets me back to work faster. Get yours at Mobot.com and use the code LEADERSHIPISFEMALE, all one word, to get 15% off. Support Lonnie Cooper, the female founder of this product, and support yourself. This is a must-have wellness water bottle. I don't know about you, but I love learning more about myself. If there's a quiz out there to help me better understand who I am, I'll take it. If there's a journal prompt, I'm using it. But how about a business that helps female leaders communicate effectively while inspiring confidence and trust in those you want to impact? Sign me up. Breakthrough Brands is unlocking clarity for women leading progress. They build leadership brands for women to discover what inspires them, define what drives them, and unlock how to share their brands with others. Do you want to gain clarity on your personal brand? Shoot me a note at leadershipisfemale@gmail.com or on Instagram, and we will introduce you to the women who will help you unlock your leadership brand. That's breakthroughbrands.com. At Leadership is Female, we are serious about supporting you in your career. That includes the tips to get you ahead inside your current organization or provide you with the next big opportunity in a new role. That's why we have partnered with Legacy Search, an executive recruiting firm specializing in mid to senior level executive searches across professional, collegiate, and minor league sports. Check out the openings listed at legacysportssearch.com or in our monthly Leadership is Female newsletter. Hint, if you have not signed up for the newsletter, head to leadershipisfemale.com. If you find a job listed at Legacy Sports Search that looks like it should be yours, email us at leadershipisfemale@gmail.com and we will introduce you directly to the opportunity. This is your career. Make the most of it.
Well, there is, if it's a safe environment, right? If there's trust, failure is the fastest way to learn. Mm-hmm. We don't really learn much when we succeed. I mean, okay, maybe we learn a little bit, but where we really learn is when we fail. And as, you know, as we know, I think with a lot of the kids today, we sort of set life up so that there's no failure, you know, and it comes from a place of just wanting your children to be safe and successful and all those good things. But we have to fail to grow. I mean, and you have to do the work. right? Because you can fail and blame everybody else, but you need kind of curiosity, a learning mindset, and a sense of agency. So that's one thing. And I also think a fortune of failure is, I think it really increases your empathy for other people. I was fired once, and I was so devastated because I was always thought, well, I'm a winner. I don't get fired. Mm-hmm. And it was devastating. And of course it was the best thing that ever happened, because, you know, if I hadn't, I wouldn't be where I am today, right? But it took a while to work through it and, you know, but the amount of empathy it gave me towards clients I have and things they go through was really meaningful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and regarding failure, you have to, in order to learn something, you have to get up and try again. So how much does resilience play into the fortunes of failure?
Yeah. I think resilient, again, I think we don't train for it as much mm-hmm. today, right? It's not there. It feels like there's less resilience today. And I think it is really that, I think you can build that muscle. And I think it is like getting up and living in discomfort and trying again and trying something different. But it also can be tiring, and you need to kind of engage in self-care. Like, when is too much resilience not good for you? When should you say, I'm gonna let go of this? Mm-hmm. I don't have to make everything work right. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that's where your skills of executive coaching really come into play, and in helping guide and maybe sometimes give permission to these overachievers to let go of that. Yeah. You've learned all that you can learn. It's time to move on.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, that resilience is a critical skill. And so also, to your point, Emily, is self-compassion. And women score quite low on their ability to embrace themselves, give themselves the same compassion they would give others. I don't have the numbers off the top of my head, but I know that statistically, women are very hard on themselves.
Oh. The things we say to ourselves, we would never say to a friend.
Yeah.
We're the biggest cheerleader, and we're our biggest critic. And that dialogue might be a little part of a habit loop. And you talk about habit loops, but building new, powerful, and lasting habits. So how do we do that? And how do we ensure that those habit loops are reinforcing positive instead of negative?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, there's so much written on habits, and if it was easy, there would just be one bestseller and everybody would do it.
Yeah.
But habits are complex. And I like to start a conversation about habits with something very aspirational, which is, you know, habits are not just habits for habit's sake, but you want your habits to ladder up into the person you want to be. And so if I want to be a centered executive coach who displays equanimity, then I need a habit of mindfulness or meditation. So it's not the meditating that is important. It's kind of the why behind the habit.
I loved how you linked something that you would do in your, what might be considered your personal life, to your business goals. Like, as we talk so much about, the dialogue never ends about work-life balance,
no.
But creating this habit ladder that reinforces who you want to become.
Yeah.
It's something that I think we, at the end of this interview, like, grab your paper and start writing. As you were saying, like, habits are complex. There'd be one bestseller if we could all do it instantly. But I really feel like, at least for me, that was kind of like an aha moment. Like, how are my habits reinforcing my goals, in my career, maybe in my personal life, over to my career? How is that becoming symbiotic?
Yeah. And even taking what you just said up to one level of more simplicity, how are my habits laddering up into the person I want to be,
mm-hmm.
and how I want to show up? And I think that one of the things we do as women is, oh, okay, well, I got to start journaling. I got to start meditating. I got to start a vegan diet. I got to start drinking 10 glasses of water. I got to go to Pilates. I have to help at the homeless shelter. I have to show up at every soccer game my son has. I have to cook dinner. I mean, sometimes it's like, pick one thing, small, and it can be real small. Pick one thing. I am a huge believer, and the research is very convincing on a gratitude practice, right? I have a book beside my bed, and it's the last thing I do before I go to sleep. I write down 5 gratitudes of the day. And sometimes, if it was a bad day, it's like my bed is one of them. Or my coffee in the morning, if between coffee and bed, things didn't go well. But this research is astonishing literally that would take 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And its impact on your well-being has been measured. Yeah.
Yeah, you're so right. And the whole pick one thing, I was laughing when you were listing off all of those. I was like, I've been guilty of gratitude practice, write 3 pages a day, meditate, don't forget my exercise. Of course, do all these things for the family, all the goals for the business. It's like, read 10 pages. Oh, like those micro goals that stack up to like 5 hours. It's like, pick, like you said, pick one thing. And maybe after today, that is 5 lines of gratitude before you fall asleep, and watch how that can change your brain. Because as you've said, like, the research is astounding on that benefit. And I think we're in a situation here where we could all use a little bit more acknowledgement of our gifts. Whether I've had a day where I wrote, the sun is shining, I can take a deep breath. Like, you can boil it down to the basics. It doesn't have to be, you were a New York Times bestseller, you got promoted to CEO, right? Like, it's the little things that stack up that make our life. So I know. Love that piece of advice.
I really deeply agree with what you're saying. Part In part because if you can say, you know, the sun was shining, or, oh, I saw that pink cloud, the way it, you know, hit that building, because everything in my view is buildings. It means you were present. It means that you can be in the moment, that you can have that focus of being in the moment and appreciating some small thing. That's what ladders up into life satisfaction.
Well, the next question I was going to ask you was about observation. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we're already, you know, on the surface of that answer, but what are your five tips to up your observation game? And why are these the gateway?
I think if you're really like deeply, I love this. A coach friend of mine said this the other day. She used the expression exquisitely listening. You are observing, right? You are using all your senses. And so when you are really observing, you are looking at the body language. You are observing the language used. You are observing the intonation. You are observing the context around the conversation. And again, if we even go back a sec to your comments, Emily, around like having those moments of appreciation, mm-hmm. kind of exquisite listening or exquisite observation means you have to be in the moment. You can't be like multitasking with your senses, mm-hmm. right? And that takes practice and awareness. And, you know, I don't have the stat right on at the tip of my tongue, but I know that when people speak, people notice more the person and the body language than the words they hear. That's sort of how they get predisposed to actually hearing the words. And it requires a quieter mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that requires practice. We're busier today than ever. I mean, you're having a conversation or you're in a meeting and you're thinking about your Amazon order, picking up your kids from school. Did you send that email? What meeting did I accept for tomorrow morning? Right? Like, I think you really have to practice dialing in your focus so that you can play the observation game. Cause like you've described, the better you are at observing, the better leader you're going to be, the more effective you're going to be, the more you're going to remember and bring forward in the business.
Yeah.
It is essential.
100%. Yeah.
So when you are not writing, when you are not executive coaching, what are you doing?
Yeah. Well, I work a lot. I work too much. But right now, if I'm not writing, and I'm not writing right now except articles, I have to start my new book, I think, in the new year. I am driving my son all over Connecticut, New England, Pennsylvania, New Jersey to baseball tournaments. That is for sure one thing I'm doing. And I am exercising and I'm getting ready, or actually, I'm not going to do anything really special to prepare, but I'm going to do a Camino, as they call them. I'm going to walk for a couple of weeks in end of April, beginning of May in Spain on one of the pilgrimages to Santiago Compostela. So I'm being a little bit, actually it's a good question. I'm being a little bit, I probably should spend a little more time thinking about what I need to do to prepare for that. I just kind of assumed I would just start walking and bring some Advil.
What's it? Santiago del Camino? Is that what that's called?
So there's different pilgrimage routes that all end at a place called Santiago Compostela in Spain. And they're called caminos, and they're different lengths. And I am going to do a sort of less trodden path, rainier, and I'm going to carry my knapsack for sure, not have it escorted.
Delivered point to point.
Exactly, exactly.
Yes. But, that is so cool. What an adventure.
Yeah. So that was actually my birthday gift to myself, was to have a month off to do something like for me.
I love that. Well, I'm sure you will be having the experience of a lifetime. I will bet your brain will be working on your next book.
It probably, yeah. You know, it's funny you say that. I was actually thinking about that. Well, am I going to like take notes? Am I going to record something? Or am I just going to be like off social media, off everything? I haven't decided yet. I don't know. I have to think about that one.
Yeah. Well, be prepared. I'm sure you'll have your pen and paper. You'll have to record those moments of the day no matter what.
That's true. That's true.
Well, before I let you go, I want to do the final four questions, quick hitters. Okay. What is your top piece of advice for women to apply today so that they may level up tomorrow?
Can I have two? Can I give two?
Yes.
One is approach life with a learning mindset. Carol Dweck wrote the book. Everyone should read it. And the second is, whatever your journey is, however long it takes, I hope you can find ways to shorten the pathway to get to the point where you can say, I am enough just as I am.
That. Where are you traveling to next?
I am traveling by plane to see my mother in Victoria, British Columbia.
Oh, I love that. And what is your pump up song?
My pump up song is, you know, this is an area of my life that I actually, Emily, I'm making a commitment on your podcast. I can't remember the name of one song. I'm like terrible with music, and I want more music in my life. So my pump up song is, I don't know. I don't know. I can't think of the name of one song. I'm so sorry.
Oh, that's okay. I bet you'll hear some great music with your son at those baseball games. So
in the car. Yeah. Yeah.
If Shazam is still a thing, you could use that app.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. That's true. But I'll tell you my favorite song. Can I tell you my favorite song?
Yes.
Okay. Probably not one listener will even remember this song. Roberta Flack, Killing Me Softly.
Oh, I could sing a bar, but I won't because
you know,
my voice is terrible.
I remember hearing that song as a kid.
Yeah.
And I went to a fancy pants party a few years ago, and she sang. She was ancient, but she sang that song. And I was just like, tears streaming down my face watching this. That's what I want played at my celebration of life, along with a song from Jesus Christ Superstar.
Yeah. Have you seen that in New York City?
Well, I've seen the play, but the movie's about, I'm not even going to tell you how many years old. It is truly the greatest musical ever made in all times. And if I could come back reincarnated, I would come back as Mary Magdalene in a traveling version of Jesus Christ Superstar.
Oh my God. I can picture it. All right. And finally,
yeah,
what is your favorite quote?
You are enough.
I love it. Well, Antonia, this has been such a great conversation and really appreciate you being a part of the Leadership is Female podcast.
Emily, thank you so much for the opportunity. I just so enjoyed it. Thank you. Oh, I didn't mention my book. Do you put that in the show notes?
Yes, I will link your book in the show notes.
Great.
And coach yourself.
Coach yourself. Yeah. And my name is the best way to find me on LinkedIn. And if you are interested in ADHD tips, Antonia Bowring 963 on TikTok.
Oh, I love it. You're a TikToker too.
Oh, I am like the worst TikToker in the world, but I'm, you know what? I have over 900 followers.
There we
go. And none of them are family and friends.
I love that.
Yeah. I'm inching my way up to going viral.
Yes. It only takes one video. That's it.
I'm still working my way.
We'll link it all in the show notes. So everyone can grab a copy of your book. I know I will be. And we will continue to follow your journey and learn from you.
Thank you, Emily. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for spending your time with us today. Time is your most precious resource, and it means the world that you spent it with us. Please help us reach more people who need to hear these interviews by hitting the subscribe button and the 5-star rating on your iPhone. Do you know someone who could benefit from this interview? Please share it. Take a screenshot and post to your Instagram stories, copy the link and share on LinkedIn, or text that link to your colleague. The Leadership is Female podcast exists to showcase female leadership in sports and entertainment and give you the tips to level up. We will extend a hand back to lead you forward. Extend the same hand by sharing this with someone who needs to hear it. One last thing. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Leadership is Female. Now, take this lesson and run. Let's go.